And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Robbie Callen, the Picks Gang, back again to join me as we take a look off the SEC, only for a moment, to look at the top 25, the best of the games from around the country. We pick them against the spread, our picks, our previews, what we expect, all of that. Make sure that you are subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher. That's how you get the podcast first, and enjoy the Picks Gang with another Top 25 Picks cast. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, we've got picks, picks, picks. It's Tom Fornelli, it's Robbie Callen, it's Chip Patterson. We're going Top 25. We are going outside the SEC, but only for one podcast. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Let go.
All right.
I guess.
We're starting in the Big 12. Game of the year in the Big 12. I was talking to some friends from Morgantown earlier today on this Thursday. Claims getting, like, big claims getting thrown around for the Neers. Like, biggest on-campus game in program history kind of claims. Now, I'll say that this is definitely the biggest game of the West Virginia Big 12 era.
I was going to say, wasn't there couple big games a few years ago under Rich Rod where like the BCS title game was on the line?
No, they were throwing out like 1990. Oh, remember in 92 against Pitt, 93, and like
some backyard brawls.
Yeah, dude, there's some real recency bias going on right now with the West Virginia fan base right now. But
all the fumes from those burning couches.
This is not to overlook what is just a massive game in the Big 12. Oklahoma going into Morgantown, nighttime game, primetime slot. Game's probably going to take like 5 hours. 8:30 kickoff Eastern time. I'm going to throw. All right, let's get you first, Robbie. You're going with home dog here. Is this? And I don't want to cut you off, but is this Big 12 give me the points mentality?
I have one rule.
Guys.
You know I have one rule in the Big 12.
Mm.
We take the points!
Always.
Big 12 candy. It's been working for me.
I know. I can't. It's
been working real well.
I cannot criticize the system.
Look, it's like I'm like undefeated taking the points in the Big 12 for like 3 straight weeks. So we ride the hot hand. The hot hand is the candy. Look, I have no idea how this game's going to go. Nothing would surprise me. Like, literally no outcome in this game would surprise me. The ears blow the doors off. The Sooners come in and win by 30. No, I mean, like, I'll believe anything. I think it's going to be a one-possession game with some weirdness happening. And, yeah, look, I'm going to take the ears. I'm going to take the points. This is a principal play on the principle that I take the points in the Big 12 because I don't understand Big 12 football.
So both of these teams are on a little bit of an under kick. I think this one goes over. Over set around 66 or 67. Score prediction I laid out was 45-42. I got Oklahoma covering the spread, winning this game in true Big 12 shootout fashion. Tom, I think there's too much firepower with Mixon back in the lineup, P. Ryan healthy again, Westbrook phenomenal, and I think my boy Mark Andrews, 81, former Daily Fantasy All-Star for your boy Chip Patterson. I think that he has the game-winning score for the Sooners. What do you like about Oklahoma here? How do you see this game playing out?
Well, I think the higher this point total is, the better for Oklahoma. But to go with Robbie's point of taking the underdogs in Big 12 games, I haven't been able to break it down into just Big 12 conference games, but I will say that as a conference, when Big 12 teams are underdogs this year, they are 21-17 against the spread. So there is some merit to that theory. As far as this game's concerned, it's really simple for me. This is a huge game, obviously, for West Virginia. If you compare their resumes right now, they basically have the same exact resume as Oklahoma with one less loss, yet they're 5 spots behind Oklahoma in the playoff rankings. And I think that's just kind of a, you know, well, you're West Virginia kind of thing, whereas Oklahoma's Oklahoma. But my problem here is I'm taking Oklahoma simply because I've seen Oklahoma in these games before. I've seen Oklahoma in big-time, Big 12 games that it has to win, and I've seen Oklahoma win these games. This is the same Oklahoma team that was in the playoff last year, after all. West Virginia, I haven't had a chance to really see in these games, and the one time that I have had a chance to see West Virginia in a big game this year, on the road against Oklahoma State, was its worst game of the year, and it lost by 17. I think West Virginia's defense is good. I don't think West Virginia's defense is good enough to keep Oklahoma off the scoreboard as much as it's going to have to do it for it to win this game. So because of that, until West Virginia actually truly proves it to me, I'm taking Oklahoma, and I'm also taking the under. I've got a 34-24 final.
Is West Virginia the kind of team that we, from time to time, we see teams, good teams, good football teams, sometimes the fans, the media, there's the process of talking yourself into believing it's a great team just because they've stacked so many wins. Is this going to be that kind of situation with West Virginia where perhaps there is a little bit of a course correction and they finish about like you are what your record is? West Virginia, let's say, finishes 9-3 or 10-2, and it feels like it was a 9-3 or 10-2 team.
Yeah, I mean, West Virginia is a good team. There's no denying that to me. It's just its schedule has played out in a fashion where it hasn't played a lot of really good teams yet, and the one really good team it did play, it lost to by 17.
All right, we got to take it to the Big Ten. I've got a very, very, very important question to ask Tom in a little bit, but first we go to Ohio State and Michigan State. All right, you, Mr. Tom Fornelli.
Huh?
You like Sparty here?
Yeah.
Do you like Sparty to threaten to win? Because we got to understand that with a 22
yep.
with a 22.5 point spread, all of us are taking Michigan State, and all of us are taking Michigan State probably seeing, like, yes, we know it was the Gers, but certainly Michigan State knowing Ohio State, knowing the opponent, the way that this rivalry goes, the way, like, as strong as Mark D'Antonio is for his preparation for Ohio State, it is very easy to talk yourself into taking Sparty in the points at 22.5. But, Tom, I think that if this number gets down to 13.5, like, if we start talking about under 2 touchdowns, I start shying away. Where are you seeing this game play out, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, about the same range, I would say, 2 touchdowns. I mean, nobody expected. Remember last year in this game, Michigan State had lost Connor Cook. Nobody expected it to even have a chance against Ohio State. It actually won the game. Now, last year's team was much better than this year's Michigan State team. Don't get that confused. It's just I still think that with the game in East Lansing, this is the kind of thing where kind of like what happened in the Michigan game, where Michigan State was never really in the game with a chance to win it, but it was refusing to be blown out at the same time. And I see that kind of thing happening again here. You know, Ohio State, it's got a lot left it needs to do, and there's a much bigger game waiting on the horizon next week.
Indeed.
So I feel like Ohio State makes this trip to East Lansing knowing it, you know, not looking past it, but knowing that it really doesn't, you know, it's probably more important just to get out of here with the win and move on to next week than it is to try to win this game by, you know, 30, 40 points. So I'm taking the Sparty to cover. But if it was about a 13.5, 14-point spread, I would probably be on Ohio State to cover.
Robbie, what's your read on this game?
Yeah, I feel the same way Tom does about Ohio State looking at this. They've put their style points on the board, and they've gotten themselves to number 2. So I think they are at least comfortable in the playoff ranking should they win out. So I do think there's a bit of a let's keep it healthy. I think, you know, we've seen Sparty against big opponents. D'Antonio loves that. D'Antonio loves those games. He likes to get the guys up for him. You know, they covered against Michigan in kind of a funky game that wasn't as close as the final score indicates. And he does weird things to get those covers. Like D'Antonio, like he went for that 2-point conversion that didn't make a difference that I'm still mad about because it went from under to a push for me because I got that line early. Because he wanted to make a statement for next year or some crap. Like he does weird things to try and get those covers and make games look closer than they really were. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens in this one. Also, there's always the off chance that Ohio State loses its mind again and tries to run JT Barrett 16 times like it did last year.
Always possible.
Always possible. I will never understand that. Last year, the one thing you could do against Michigan State was throw it over the top against those safeties. They did it once to Braxton Miller, got like 40 yards in the first quarter, and never did it again, and I will never understand it, and it's why they lost, and they deserve that for that. Like, you can't run JT Barrett 16 times. against that defensive front. Like, I never understood it. So you never know. Ohio State's entire coaching staff may have a full on like brain fart and run him 17 times and they lose the game again. Always possible. Always possible. They might not get Curtis Samuel the football. Well, you do get Samuel the football. How many times we got Samuel?
What are you doing, Ohio State?
Give him the football!
WYD.
They've been doing it recently.
They have. And that's why they've been eating. That's why they've been putting their style points up.
He needs more than 10 touches a game. That's all I know. I don't, 10, 11 touch games are ridiculous.
I don't care. I don't care how they get him. You know, you can
20 touches. That dude needs the football in his hand.
Halfback, running back angle all day, baby.
Oh, God.
Madden plays.
By the way, that would chew up this Michigan State defense. Those linebackers struggle a little bit.
Robbie, did you know that Tom's taking Rutgers?
The Gers! I believe we need to have an intervention.
Yeah, Tom.
And I understand it's a lot of points. I understand it's 28.5. I understand it's Penn State. But Tom, against ranked opponents, Rutgers is like losing 190-0.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to cover against Penn State.
hell yeah. All right, so it's under the lights. It's in Piscataway. It is High Point Solution Stadiums. Not Greensboro Solution Stadiums. Not Winston-Salem Solution Stadium. This is High Point Solution Stadiums. Tom, is this a Penn State thing or is this a Rutgers thing? Because last time we saw Rutgers. Okay, all right. So let down.
I'm just a huge believer in the Scarlet Knights. No, it's last week in that game against Indiana, Penn State's offensive line, which had been playing well, and it was, you know, coinciding with Penn State's resurgence, you know, beating Ohio State and getting all of a sudden, you know, into the top 10. Last week, that offensive line struggled against Indiana, who has a good defensive front, but not exactly, you know, NFL caliber from top to bottom. And that concerns me because that's the one thing that has destroyed Penn State in the last couple of years. Its offensive line being bad. And if it's starting to regress a little bit at night at Rutgers in Piscataway, I think they can hang within 4 touchdowns if that Penn State offensive line is struggling. Again, if this was 27.5, I would probably have taken Penn State.
But you just give me the hook, and Darius Hamilton seems like a great reason.
Hook on the 4th touchdown. And I'm going to take Rutgers. And honestly, the fact that everybody else took Penn State makes me even more confident in the pick.
So is that how confident you are in Oregon to cover 13.5 at Utah?
Yes. Oh, I think Oregon's just going to cover that.
Wow. All right. Let's go back to the Big 12. Oklahoma State going to play TCU. The Frogs are 4.5-point home favorites against Oklahoma State. Now, I've got to stick with Oklahoma State for aforementioned reasons that I've pledged my allegiance to the Cowboys for the rest of the season for how badly they proved me wrong. And TCU, while in spots, has really been able to get it rolling, particularly when that rushing attack with Hicks is going as well. You know, they've had some good performances, but good golly, both these teams have been all over the map. Robbie, I went also with your take the points mentality. Anything else that you like about Oklahoma State here?
I think they're a better football team. I don't always trust them, but Mason Rudolph can get things going against that TCU defense. But no, this is just if it's a one possession game in the Big 12, Robbie's on candy.
Okay, so Mason Rudolph has this team average this Oklahoma State offense averaging like 9 yards per play or something ridiculous in the last couple weeks.
They're moving it. I mean, they hit their stride. That's the one thing this team can do. We've always known they can do it. And TCU's defense this year has not been impressive against teams that are efficient. This year, Baylor has not been efficient. In the way that Baylor teams have in the past. And so I don't read much into that. Also, I think there's something TCU loves to beat the hell out of Baylor when they can. So I don't think they have the same mentality going in against Oklahoma State in the way that I think they're going to win this game by a large margin. So I feel like it's going to be close, and if I feel like it's going to be close again in the Big 12 points.
All right, Tom, you got TCU here. What do you like here about the Frogs?
It just smells funny.
It does.
It kind of goes back to, you know, in the SEC podcast when we were talking about Arkansas-Mississippi State, how you generally, like, Vegas will generally give the home team 3 points, and then, you know, it might go the other way if it thinks the road team's actually better. And I feel like you would think Oklahoma State's better, yet the line went the other way, where TCU is a 4.5-point favorite. So there's just something here that doesn't seem right to me, and it's like my instinct says to take Ohio State, but the gut says go with TCU because it's just something funky in the air.
Yeah, it stinks.
Oh, yeah, I would never suggest anybody actually take this.
No. I don't think anybody should bet this game.
Nah.
But when it comes to the fact that they threaten to fire us if we don't pick every single game.
Yes, I have turned it back in. I've left games off in the effort to abstain, and I've been yelled at. So I give them the picks. Oh, I give them their sweet picks.
Do you really? You just protest? You just
Every once in a while.
You just
Kaepernick.
Hold on.
I like it.
Hold on, Robbie's.
Especially early in the season.
Robbie's out here Kaepernicking expert picks.
Especially early in the season when they give us these fake lines on, like, FCS games. Don't give me that.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to see your 53.5-point spreads. I don't want to pick that. Because out of principle, I know I have to pick the points. Because I feel dirty.
You just feel bad doing it.
I feel dirty laying more than 40.
All right, let's talk about this Michigan-Indiana game. We've got, all of us are on the Wolverines here. 23.5 is the spread. Indiana, Tom, take the lead here if you don't mind, because I'm looking at a Kevin Wilson coached Indiana team that has, what would you say, 4 to 5 spunky performances in it every single season. It's got a loss to Wake Forest in there, but also 4 to 5 spunky performances. And with the Dodfather and John Song of Solomon and Ben Lauren Kercheval, there's obviously a belief that this is going to be one of those performances. I also know that Jim Harbaugh is a vengeful man, and I kind of see, like we were talking about in the last podcast, for Texas A&M going up against UTSA, like, does Texas A&M have a get right game in it? I don't know, but I think Michigan does. Am I misreading or underestimating this Indiana team, Tom?
No, I mean, had Michigan won last week, I'd probably take Indiana to cover.
Yeah.
But coming off a loss, I mean, it's just, if the game was in Indiana, I might take Indiana. But just in Ann Arbor, coming off a loss, just seeing Jim Harbaugh and what he's done just to other teams in the Big Ten this year, and not just other teams, but other teams coached by his former assistants.
Doesn't care.
Which he showed absolutely no mercy to. I'm not worried about this being a look-ahead game for Michigan where they're just, you know, worrying about Ohio State. This is going to be a, we're putting up 70. And when the new college football playoff rankings come out, we're going to be number 2, and then we're going to go put up 70 on Ohio State. That's the approach I see Michigan taking into this game. And I'm sorry, Indiana. I know you don't have the defense to keep Michigan from scoring 70 if it wants to, and I know you don't have the offense to be able to keep up with them when they do.
Robbie?
Yeah. No, here's the thing. I was talking to my Michigan fan friend, and he was like, and he is like me, loves underdogs, and he was like, lay it. Because here's the thing. We got John O'Korn coming in for Wilton Spate, most likely. You know, they won't confirm anything, but all the reports say that Spate has the collarbone issue and will be out probably for the regular season. So this is a – nobody believes in this game because that's what Harbaugh will spin it as. Just lost. New quarterback, you know. This is where things spiral out of control for other teams, but not us is going to be the message. And
they're writing us off.
They're writing us off at number 4 in the playoff. They don't believe in us, even though we're still in the playoff after a loss. And it's about to get real ugly for Indiana. I think this is a cover at halftime and no mercy in the second half. I think he wants O'Korn. He's been talking how he trusts O'Korn, how he believes in him. He likes him. He's always liked his stuff. The question has been the mistakes that Okorn was making at Houston, the turnovers, I think he's going to unleash him. I think Jake Butt has a big game up the seams. Turn him loose on those safeties for Indiana that have nothing for Jake Butt. Big receivers, Darbo out there making plays. Chesson making plays. I think Okorn throws for 350.
Wow.
5 touchdowns.
Wow.
Huge game. I think they just turn him loose on this Indiana defense. I think that's what he wants to do. It's a statement. He's not coming out of the game. He's going to play 4 quarters and just throw it up. I think you see 350 passing yards. And then in the end, they just beat him down on the ground once they're tired.
But
just unleash Davion on him.
But I don't think Okorn,
yeah, I don't think Okorn goes for over 300. But I just feel like if there's any of the teams that are at the top, you know, like within the hunt for the playoff spot, if there's any of the team where I feel like the quarterback matters the least,
it's Michigan.
It's Michigan. Because I feel like Michigan's quarterback is just don't screw things up. Like Alabama's amazing. Alabama's amazing, but if you take Jalen Hurts out of there, that offense suddenly becomes a lot more pedestrian.
Sure, but then you know they figure some way out.
Yeah. But Michigan, I think you could just kind of plug and play. As long as the quarterback's not screwing anything up, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, Spate's been actually like really good. And last year, I mean, Rudock turned into a pretty good quarterback as far as on the collegiate level. I mean, Harbaugh does a really good job with those guys. I really just think this is a spot where he's going to want to unleash Okorn. Like, that's the thing, is I think he's going to be like, look, we're going to prove to Ohio State that you have to game plan for the passing attack. You know, he's not going to want to show game management, I think.
Yeah.
I think he wants to unleash, and I look at this Indiana defense, and I think they are going to get carved up through the air.
But that's part of it, too. I mean, who's the last quarterback Jim Harbaugh had at the college level who sucked?
Yeah. I mean, he makes these guys good.
Yeah.
Like, Wilton Spate was nothing before. Like, we were like, okay, well, it's probably going to be Okorn. And then Wilton Spate comes out. He's been good. Everybody's worried about Rudock last year. You know, I mean, he had come from – he was not good. You know, like, he had some issues. And, like –
he left Iowa for a reason.
Like, yeah, he left Iowa, and he threw the interceptions in that first game, and we go, oh, no. And by the end of the year, he's carving up the Gators.
Yeah, but to be fair, he looked awful against Utah.
He did. No, he looked awful. And we had a reason to be like, what was this? But what I'm saying is over the course of the season,
I'll just say
this. Harbaugh gets those guys ready, and I just think Okorn just torches them.
Playing Indiana at home is not quite the same thing as facing last year's Utah defense in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Guys, before we go any farther, it would be irresponsible if I let this podcast continue without a reminder for our listeners about the incredible opportunity that they can get by being both A, an SEC on CBS podcast listener, and B, being a fan of some of the best made-to-measure suits in the world. Talking about Indochino Custom Menswear. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands, and they are making it easy for men to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. They've got 9 North American showrooms, but that's not where you get the SEC on CBS deal. No, no, no. This week, SEC on CBS podcast listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com by entering the code SEC at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and shipping is free. Free 99 shipping. That's Indochino.com, promo code SEC for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. Indochino also has amazing holiday deals right now on their shirts, pants, and other products too. So you not only get to cash in on this Indochino premium suit, but also maybe some gifts for others as well. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor ever again with this easy process. Just send in your measurements, kick back, relax, and 4 weeks later, you'll be looking like $1 million. Indochino.com, promo code SEC. All right, top 25 matchup, Pac-12 title implications. It's Washington State, it's Colorado. The Buffs get to finish their season in Boulder, competing for the Pac-12 South title. They're 4.5-point favorites in this matchup and getting no love from the CBS Sports experts who are just on the Cougs all the way across. I've got the Cougs winning this game. I think that my X factor is if Washington State can shut down Phillip Lindsay, because Colorado actually has some nice balance right now with Phillip Lindsay running the ball, Sifo Lufau sort of picking apart with his playmakers on the outside. If they can make Lufau force things, if they can set up some third and longs, and then obviously being efficient on the offensive end and not just torching, not just letting throwing the ball 80 times when even in moments where you need to do other things. I think Washington State wins this game. That's my pick here. Tom, Robbie, who wants to go first? Oh, Robbie.
Yeah. Look, I just think this is a Colorado team that it has not beaten its two best opponents, Michigan and USC. It's played a pretty soft schedule otherwise. Like UCLA is not good. Stanford is they caught, you know, Stanford's not really good. And that 10-5, I mean, that was a beautiful football game. I loved it. 10-5 is extremely my stuff. Arizona State is a bad football team. Oregon State, they squeaked out the win against Oregon, which that, you know, early in the season we're like, hey, they beat Oregon. Like we were sitting there thinking, we're like, you know, maybe Oregon's not that good this year, and now we realize like Oregon's just bad. So I still just don't believe in Colorado. I know that they're a solid football team. They're a good football team. But can they beat a team that is dynamic on offense like Washington State and a team that has been – you know, this is a Washington State team. This is one of the first times we've seen them be a balanced offense. They'll run the football.
They will.
We've been waiting for this from Leach for a while with when he's had a good squad. We've been like, hey, but will he run the football? This was – I think we talked about this last week. You know, will he get caught up in the Cal game in the let's just throw it, let's get excited? He you know, they'll run it. And I just think Washington State getting points here is a pretty easy call for me. I think they win outright as well. I like the Cougs here. I just don't quite buy into Colorado. I think it's a good team. I think this will be close, lower scoring than we're used to seeing from a Washington State team. But I think this is a Washington State team that's finally – because of the balance that they found on offense, is able to play in a lower scoring game than we've seen in the past. It used to be if you turn Washington State into a low scoring team, you're gonna beat them. I think this year's a little different.
Tom,
yeah, you know Washington State can play defense now too.
Yeah, they play a little defense. It's a balanced team. I think this is Leach's best team.
Yeah, I have loved Colorado since the very first night of the season. That Friday night when they opened against Colorado State and they just came out and blitzed them. Just
drubbed
them to hell up. And I was like, you know, the ears went up like, huh? This is not my Colorado. This is all Colorado.
We're losing the country.
And, I mean, it's been really fun watching this team be good again.
Yeah.
But they're 9-1 against the spread this year, but that's mostly just because they've been consistently undervalued week in and week out. And the truth is, watching them the last few weeks, they're kind of losing steam a little bit. You remember the weeknight game a couple weeks ago? They nearly lost to a UCLA team with its backup quarterback at home. They had real trouble beating that Bruins team.
And that's not a good UCLA football team.
Yeah. And Colorado's just been kind of – it's been winning, but it hasn't looked nearly as dynamic as it did earlier in the year. Meanwhile, this Washington State team was awful in the first 3 weeks of the season. But has since been really, really good. I think honestly, part of that transition to being a team that runs the ball probably played a major role in the fact that Washington State got off to such a slow start because Leach didn't know what the hell he was doing yet.
He was confused.
It's like, wait, is this what I thought he was run?
He's like looking at his play sheet, like, I've never seen this one. Like, it's on the back, it's like crumpled up, faded, because that's the side that his hand was always on.
Power trip? What does that say? Power trap? What the hell is that?
I mean, it is crazy.
Why are the numbers in front of this? 32? What?
So
what
it
hell,
was.
What are these gaps? What the hell do you need gaps for? We're just throwing the ball. That's the only gap I need. It's between the linebackers.
Dude. But September 13th or 12th, was when Mike Leach steps to the microphone talking about how the problem in America is the participation trophies, and that he said, we got guys out there running routes that aren't even the same thing that we teach them. He said, no more kumbaya. I mean, it was a very, very solid rant, and it's crazy for me to think back to how unhappy, I mean, just downright outraged and disappointed Mike Leach was with this team 3 months ago to where we are now, or 2 months ago.
I just love this pattern that they've found where they lose to an FCS opponent, and then, like, all of a sudden we...
Bad pattern.
It's so good. It's like, okay, we just write them off the first week of the season. It's great. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, the Apple Cup means something. Like 3 months later, we're like, well, damn.
Getting back to my pick, which I haven't officially made yet. Just some trend wise. I mean, I'm taking Washington State to cover and just to win outright. Let's just get that out of the way. But trend wise, Washington State is 3-0 against the spread as an underdog this season, and it's 2-1 straight up in those games. The only loss was to Boise State. And in the three games that it's been an underdog, it's covered by an average of 21.2 points.
Goo.
So it's covering as an underdog with real ease. Obviously, it's 1-2 of the three. So I just think that looking at these two teams and where they are right now and just the way Colorado's kind of sliding a bit, I hate to do it because I love my Buffs. But I think the Cougs are gonna leave Boulder with the big dub.
Run, Ralphie, run. Run, Ralphie.
Love Ralphie.
Life.
Did you see that Ralphie doing the mannequin challenge because he just doesn't move?
Yes. Yes.
That was the only mannequin challenge I've enjoyed so far.
It was excellent. It was just Ralphie sitting in his pen.
I was like, get rid of these stupid people in cowboy outfits and just show me Ralphie's sitting there like, look at these idiots. What are they doing? I can kill all of you.
Turn me loose.
I will crush you.
I went against a real principle in the Pac-12. You know, we've talked about the home disadvantage of that comfy light blue hue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a game, there's a rivalry game, where that comfy light blue hue should have me picking the Trojans to cover a 10.5-point spread. But I like that candy. I like that hook. I like a USC letdown. I think the Trojans win this game. But you know what? Jim Mora, he's found ways to turn these games into Bruins victories. I don't think he'll do it here, but I'm going to guess that something weird might happen and fully expect to be wrong and have a USC 20-point win. Robbie, you're with me on this one.
Hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's technically a home dog, so I took it. But I hate it. I hate being relying on the Jim Mora football team for anything. Can't trust them. Can't do it. It will be the nice welcoming baby blue in the Rose Bowl that, you know, USC gets to walk into. A little short trip for the Trojans. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like this a lot. I'm real afraid Ronald Jones gets loose.
Tom.
You two need to wake up, all right? Listen. Yeah, you know, Jim Mora and UCLA have done well against USC the last few years because Jim Mora in those games had guys named Brett Hundley and Josh Rosen. Now he's got some guy named Falafel as his quarterback. All right. USC, on the other hand, has Sam Darnold and has just been playing really... Some guy named Hey Darnold. And they've been playing really, really, really well. A lot better than UCLA.
A lot better, yes.
No, I hate this. USC
is going to rout the Bruins, but you're going to want to tune in and watch anyway because it is the most beautiful matchup that you can watch on your television screen.
USC will
be wearing the red, and UCLA will be wearing the powder blue, and they just look amazing together on the field at the Rose Bowl at night.
The all-aesthetic bowl.
It's the most beautiful football game.
Just really great, and it's going to be great to watch Ronald Jones put up 200 yards. and just ripped me to shreds here.
I might switch this pick.
I kind of want to switch this right now, but I'm going to stick with the guns. Terrible decision. The gut took me here. We're just going to roll with it. Whatever. I look forward to losing that.
All of our super confident top 25 picks, as always, are available on CBSSports.com under Expert Picks. He is Robbie Cowan. You can follow him at @rcowan. He is Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at Tom Fornelli. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I appreciate your willingness to share your college football expertise with the world.